Sylvia and me.
Sylvia and me.
Sylvia and me.
Sylvia.
Sylvia.
Sylvia and me.
Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
I'm Patty Russo, and I'm the executive director of the Campaign School at Yale. Welcome to Sylvia and me.
Patty, I am so glad to finally meet you. I've heard so much about you. So you're the executive director of the Women's Campaign School.
We changed our name 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
So we have evolved. So we updated our name 2 weeks ago. So we are now the Campaign School at Yale University. And I'll talk about that.
I say
later in the show.
You got it. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So can you tell me, I know that your career, you're a member of the national leadership team of political parity. You have always been an advocate for
always.
Women.
My whole life. And it really started when I grew up in New Jersey. And that was really right back when the women's movement was just starting. And so I met amazing women like Gloria Steinem and Robin Morgan and Betty Friedan. And I was very active in our local national organization for women chapter that my father had to drive me to every Saturday morning because I wasn't even old enough to drive. But I just loved it. I felt like I had met my people. My father had been very politically active, so this doesn't come as a shock that I had gotten so politically active so young, but I really have been active in the women's movement since I'm 16, and I'm more than 16 now, and there's no greater gift in life, Sylvia, is, you know, when you find your love tribe and when you're doing the work that you feel you were put on this planet to do. There's nothing better than that. And I want all women to find their path and feel the way that I do every day.
Well, that's fantastic. And I do agree. And women are really coming into their own. Not that they haven't before, but as time and time goes by, more and more women find their voice.
Correct.
And we're not going to be told to leave the room and be quiet. But there's a way, and you know, we need to finesse it a lot more than men do.
Men don't even think about finesse.
No.
Okay? Just never. Never. It's just like, you know, men are never asked to run, right? And the average is 5 or 6 times a woman has to be asked to run. And I say, this isn't the prom. You don't have to wait to be asked.
And you don't need a gown.
Exactly. And, you know, men just get up in the morning, they get dressed, they put on a flag pin. I'm running for the United States Senate today. Never run before. You know, I've got loads of friends that are going to vote for me. I can raise the money. It never occurs to a man that he's going to lose. It never occurs to a woman that she could possibly win.
And
but we're
never,
seeing that changing now, which is really
The other thing
exciting.
That it never occurs to men is that a woman could beat them.
Exactly.
So that too. Talking about that, let's talk about this program. How did it get started?
It was started actually at the time when it was started around 1992, which you may remember was our first year of the woman. And I like to say that every 20 years we cycle out and we get our own year, but that too is changing, which is really exciting. So we had 1992, we had all of these women throughout the country running and winning, right? Both on the Democratic and Republican side. And I was head at the time of the Connecticut Permanent Commission on the Status of Women. I was doing a lot of political work for women candidates here in Connecticut. And I was filled with such hope and promise because it was just so exciting to see all these phenomenal women running for Congress and the United States Senate. At that time, Carol Moseley Braun, African-American woman running in her own right in Illinois, was running for the United States Senate. It was a big, big deal. And since we were so flush back then as a state, for little Connecticut, these women were coming in more than once, to raise money for their campaigns. And so many of those women ran and won that year, Sylvia. And so we were feeling pretty smug for about 50 seconds and thought, wow, we have finally leveled the playing field. We have finally smashed through that glass ceiling. And now, as a result of all these phenomenal women who have won, we were going to start seeing more and more women running in 1993, and that did not happen.
And why did that not happen?
I think that, you know, women did not make the connection of, wow, if she can do it, why not me? I can do it. So there was this disconnect. And so our founder, who is almost a lifelong resident of Westport, Andre Alion Brooks, started meeting with a group of leaders in the state. And, you know, her whole vision was, you know, I think that there are challenges that women face when they run for office that men don't even have to think about. And maybe we need to think about creating a campaign school so that women can attend, they can, you know, they can be really well-trained, and get the skills and techniques that they need to run an effective, successful campaign. So I represented Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro, who is still our Congresswoman from the 3rd Congressional District. She was in D.C., and she asked me if I would attend the meetings in her stead, which I was thrilled to do. And we started meeting and talking about what our vision was for women, both nationally and internationally. And we decided that we wanted it to be issue neutral. We wanted it to be nonpartisan. So any woman, and I'm going to go on to the name change in a few minutes, but any woman who was interested in running for office or interested in campaign management, because Sylvia, when you think about women who are campaign managers on the national side, who do you think of? You think of Donna Brazile on the Democratic side. You think of Kellyanne Conway on the Republican side. And then we're in free fall. So we just need more women everywhere. That's my bottom line.
Yes, we do. So how does a woman, we run households, we run businesses when we get out there. Politics is a little bit different. You're really out there in front of everyone. Your life is an open book,
correct,
whether you want it to be or not.
Right.
So how do you know when somebody is fit really to be a politician as opposed to maybe managing a business? What are the qualities that somebody really needs, not just a passion, but what do you look for?
We look for thick-skinned individuals, because it's a tough, brutal business, and it is a business.
Yes.
You know, when people treat it as a hobby, that's when they get into trouble, because it really is a business. It's an expensive business. It's a brutal business. It's a bloodbath, which is why initially women were not attracted to running for office. And it's gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better. I mean, it's more vicious than ever. And so we really feel that if you have the skills underneath your belt and you're confident and you have a mentoring component to the work that you're going to work, that you're going to go and do after you spend 5 days with us at Yale Law School, you will skew yourself for success. And that's what it's about. I've been doing this for so long. I will speak to any woman who's interested in running for office or thinks she's ready. Because I can basically, you know, sit with them and 10, 15 minutes, figure out whether or not they're ready, what I can do to help them get ready. Sometimes they're not ready for a 5-day intensive. And I'd like to talk about, when, you know, right after the 2016 presidential election, we were inundated with calls and emails from women, shocked, couldn't believe the results of the presidential, felt that they really needed to step up and do something, but they didn't know what to do. And so that was the election, and then came in January of 2017, the inauguration, and then the next day was the first Global Women's March. And that's when we really started hearing from women all over the country. I'm mad. I marched. I want to run for office. When's your next 5-day? And so I started returning those calls because that's my idea of a good time on a Saturday, Sunday afternoon. And discovered in conversations with these women that a third of them who were reaching out to us weren't registered to vote.
How could that?
All right. They weren't registered to vote, but they thought they were coming to a 5-day intensive. And I said, I'm going to save you the $65 application fee. You are going to go register to vote tomorrow. And I'm going to give you a local political homework assignment. And maybe I'll hear from you again, and maybe I will not. So a third of the women who reached out to us, Sylvia, after the first women's march weren't registered to vote. The second third were registered to vote, but didn't vote in the 2016 presidential because, quote, the two candidates were so similar, I couldn't make up my mind. So two, and then the last third were appropriate to apply to our 5-day intensive. So two thirds of those women, they're not ready for a 5-day. We want to skew women for success, not failure. Right? We want to give them a fighting chance. So what we did was we raised, about $80,000 to create a whole new level of training called the Campaign School at Yale, the basics. And it's a 1-day intensive. It's really for anybody who has a newly discovered passion for politics, but doesn't have the skills and foundations that they need in order to launch themselves effectively. So we launched that 3 years ago. We have trained, and I do that training both nationally and internationally, and we've trained close to 3,000 people just in the 1 day. And at the end of the day, they know they're much clearer in their path. Wow, what was I thinking? I'm so not ready to run. Or what was I thinking? I thought I wanted to run for office, but my skill set is really best suited to campaign management. I like telling people what to do. I want to be a campaign manager. So it's just been just such an important component because we just really felt that we really needed to meet women where they were, you know, what level they were. And so basically, if you have a passion for politics and a pulse, you can join us at a 1-day training.
But one of the things that you said was two-thirds of those women who thought they wanted that 5-day intensive, they hadn't even registered, and then they hadn't voted. It sounds like what you did was actually educate them in the fact that their vote matters, and they could be as mad as they want to be, but part of the reason why things took place the way they did was because they didn't either go out and register to vote in the first place and then didn't vote.
Exactly.
So in eliminating people who just really weren't ready or just did not fit political life, you educated two-thirds of those women. So 1992 was a watershed. It was great. And then things went
down
in the toilet.
It's been a roller coaster ride since then. Really, it has been. We have our peaks and our valleys. We're in 1 year, for whatever reason, we see and enjoy critical mass. And then we plummet. Now, that is not happening. Women are awake and excited and feel that they need to use their voice for good. You know, they need to speak up because they discover what happens when they do not. So in 2018, you know, that was really the year of women of color, which was really, really exciting. And we're continuing to see that surge. So we're not seeing the peaks and valleys anymore, Sylvia. We're just seeing an increase in the number, increasing numbers of women, both Democrats and Republicans, I might add, who want to step up and do something to be more civically engaged.
So, Patty, what you're saying, what I hear is that the last election really woke a lot of people up.
Galvanizing.
Galvanizing is the word. And so now you have this 1-day training. Where do you see the biggest hurdle that women have?
I really believe that the number one reason we don't see more women in leadership everywhere in every field is, you know, we never think that we're enough. There is this sense of, wow, I need to do more research. I have to do my homework. I call it the Girl Scout syndrome. We're not as prepared. Meanwhile, men, it never occurs to a man to be better prepared. And so it's just about shifting women's idea about what they can actually achieve. And part of the one day and part of the 5 day is, you know, I'll say to women on Monday of our 5 day, you're not going to recognize yourself by Wednesday, just by virtue of being in the room with phenomenal colleagues from all over the country and the world, by being trained by the most extraordinary faculty, both on the Democratic and Republican side, and being at Yale Law School. I mean, you sit there. Have you been to Yale Law School, Sylvia? You sit there, you just feel brilliant. You just do. So they start shifting. They start by virtue of the skills that they're learning, the techniques that they're learning, the conversations that they're having with other students and with our faculty and our board. They just start shifting inside, and they start feeling differently. They start feeling more confident about how they want to be seen in the world. And that happens pretty quickly. I mean, it's 5 days.
It's five so intensive by, days.
Exactly. So by Friday, they have a more confident sense of themselves. Like, basically, I can take on any challenge that comes my way, and I'll be able to deal with it. And the other thing that we think is another key component to candidates winning is our mentoring component. We like to stay in touch with our grads, for both from our 5 day and our 1 day. You know, we all have bad days, Sylvia, where we get really small and we start thinking, oh, this is too hard. I can't do it. This is for somebody else. And we just shift that energy. I don't want to come in and fix it, although I would love to, but let's have a conversation. Let's just talk about what's really going on. And it's just being there for our grads so that they know that whatever comes their way, they can more than handle it. So, for instance, I send out an email to our grads. Okay, I'm going to be in D.C. Who wants to have breakfast with me? If you have good news, I'd love to see you. If you're floundering, you need to see me. It's just that. And Democrats show up and Republicans show up. We're actually doing our second annual training for our 1 day intensive for Republican women, in partnership with a group, Republican Women for Progress. And as a result of that, we're seeing more Republican women interested in running for office and attending our school.
So who are some of the alumni that you...
Well, U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who just ran for president, is a grad of our school. I know you've heard of her.
Yes, I have.
Former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords from Arizona.
Yes.
Was not only on our board, but she was also a grad of our school. And most recently, Lauren Underwood. Lauren's like, you know, our just phenomenal, phenomenal grad who is just changing the world. Lauren is from Illinois, 14th District, was in a primary with, seven or eight white men. She's an African-American woman, 32 years old. And no one was taking her seriously, not her party. We were there for her, a lot of late night conversations, kind of bolstering her up. And she was lovingly relentless in terms of being out there. And she beat out all those men to win the Democratic primary. And then she subsequently went and beat out a 20-year Republican incumbent.
20 years. So, Patty, my next question is, are you seeing a lot more younger people? Is there a mix of age? I mean, is there an average age of women?
When we first started 26 years ago, we'll be seating our 26th class the week of June 15th at Yale Law School. When we first started out, the median age for a woman attending our school is mid-40s and predominantly white women. And then we had, fast forward, the Obama phenomenon, where in 2007, 2008, we started seeing younger and younger women of color coming to our five-day. They had either taken time off from school or taken time off from work to work on that presidential campaign. And they caught the bug. You know, I can totally relate. And they're like, why can't I do this? I can do this. I want to do this. And so then we started seeing more and more women of color, younger and younger. So now our median age is late 20s, early 30s, and the majority of the women who attend our school are women of color.
That's fantastic. It's a real diverse group of women.
Mm-hmm. We look like America. That's what I like to say. You walk in that room and it just takes your breath away.
And 2020 marks the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment.
Yes.
Which, you know, nowadays, young people don't realize that 100 years ago, women were not allowed to vote. We really weren't looked at as much of anything.
Well, unless you take a women's studies class, Sylvia, in school, you don't know women's history.
That's
you just
very
don't.
True.
You just don't. I mean, we don't really get beyond Betsy Ross, really. And so as a result of that, how can we expect, except for our children, of course, how can we expect them to have any sense of women's struggles and men who partnered with women at that time? Because, you know, women weren't able to vote, so they really relied on partners and allies of the, you know, of the opposite sex to be there with them. And so there would be no way you would No. And so I'm not surprised that when I say, when I speak to young people, and I speak to a lot of young people regularly, I'll say, I was just so lucky. I started my career working for the late, great Bella Abzug. And they look at me like
who?
Oh, gosh, are you 100 years old? Google her. How many of you have a credit card in your knapsack? And every hand goes up, of course. I was like, well, you can thank Bella for that, because of her Fair Credit Act, women didn't have to wait for their fathers to sign their application or their spouses. And they just look at me like, what are you talking about? It really wasn't that long ago.
I know. And that's the amazing thing, because you can look back to the 1970s and so on. It wasn't that long ago where women had... Yes, we could vote, but there were so many other things we couldn't do. We couldn't get a credit card. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get a loan. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do anything without a male counterpart coming up there and signing for us.
It is very exciting to see younger and younger people getting, you know, civically engaged. I mean, that has really been something that I've experienced over, I don't know, the last 10 years, is seeing more and more young men and women stepping up. We have more and more men who are calling us saying, I need to come to your one day. I'm running a campaign for a woman, and I know that there are challenges she's going to face that I know as a man I'm never going to have to face.
Well, one of the other things I read someplace, have you had to, in today's day and age, especially after the last, with the rise of the Me Too movement and everything else that has gone on, have you had to kind of tweak your curriculum or add something on to teach some of these young people, the women, how to be able to stand up for themselves, how to, you know, they go out there in public, and because they're a woman, they're treated so differently?
Mm-hmm. Well, we prepare them and tell them to expect to be hammered all the time. And how to handle that. Again, it gets to strategies to effectively handle that. The other issue, and we're constantly tweaking our curriculum. So if your listeners go to tcsyale.org, under facts is our agenda from this past year. And you'll see we mimic the energy of a full-time campaign. So we start at dawn and we end at midnight, and then you get to work in your small groups. We have small group case study groups that work until 2-3 o'clock in the morning, because that's kind of the way it is out in the real world politically. And what we're constantly tweaking the curriculum to make sure that we are teaching them everything that they need to know now. So one of the issues that became very prevalent the past 2 years has been security and safety on the campaign trail. I don't care where you live, you cannot go anywhere alone. You just can't. I mean, it happens to me, and I'm not even running for office. There'll be somebody in the back who's doesn't look like they belong there, but they're there, and then they want to talk to me afterward, and then they want to walk me to my car. And so, you know, I mean, can you imagine if you're a candidate and you're like, wow, I can't afford to alienate every vote, right? Any vote. So I'm just going to have to go along with this. No, there are ways that you can protect yourself in a very kind, assertive way. Make sure that somebody's always there with you with a clipboard and, that you certainly don't go door to, those days are over of a candidate going door to door, by themselves. You always have to have a team to do that, with you.
I totally
agree.
Please
don't even, it wouldn't even occur to you until you hear a bad story. So we want to alleviate that. We don't want the bad story.
Proactive. You
know? Exactly.
One of the things, Patty, that you've said is a woman running for public office should consider taking up golf if they want to raise campaign money. Can you expand on that?
Gosh, did I say that? I must have said that a million years ago. Mm-hmm. Did I really say that?
You did.
Okay.
Men oftentimes are members of clubs, country clubs, golf clubs, tennis clubs. That's where a lot of business happens.
True.
Which is why there are so many more women out there taking golf lessons right now. They see the importance of that skill because a lot of deals are closed on the golf course.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I was talking early on about the way a man decides he's going to run versus a woman, one of the things men always think about is, well, I've got all these friends and they belong to the golf club, the tennis club, the country club. I'm a good guy. They're going to want to support me. And so normally, traditionally, women don't belong to any of those clubs, but they get the networking component to the work, the business of running for office and the importance of making those connections. When a man decides he's going to support a woman, it's like the good housekeeping seal of approval, Sylvia. It's just, so I'm like, get those partners, get those allies, you know, on your campaign, because it will really, because then they'll bring in their friends. And that's just kind of, that's just the way it works. That's how you skew yourself for success sometimes.
So where do you see us going? Do you think we're on a
ain't no stopping us now. Yeah,
there
that's
you
my,
go.
I always have a theme song to keep me going. And right now it's ain't no stopping us now. We are swamped happily with women calling us and now men calling us who are running campaigns. We changed our name a few weeks ago to be more inclusive. We've had a number of non-binary individuals who really want to come to our trainings and don't feel especially comfortable going, attending our trainings. And so we want everyone to know that you will find a happy home at our school. If you share our mission remains the same, to work at getting more women in the political pipeline, come on down, be with us.
Well, hopefully, especially the young women who are just having their eyes opened and going out there and registering to vote and knowing they have a voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you had one thing to tell women, what would that be?
You can do it. You can do it. You can do it on your own terms based on the life that you're leading. Not everybody can run for office now, but you can make a difference in your community now.
Patty, can you repeat that email, that website address?
It's tcsyale.org, and our phone number is 203-734-7385.
And as you said, it's not just people in Connecticut, but it's all over the U.S.
And the world.
And the world.
We just need more women everywhere, and we need more allies supporting us to make that happen.
Well, Patty, I thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking to another extraordinary, inspiring woman who has made her mark on the world. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform and, of course, our website, sylviaandme.com. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to keep up with the latest episodes. Review, rate, and take us with you wherever you are. I want to hear from you. If you know of an extraordinary, inspiring woman, please contact me at sylvia@lifeofprey.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay safe. Today's podcast has been recorded at Verso Studios at the Westport Library. This has been a Life of Prey production.